Welcome to a new edition of The Brand Called You. Today we have a very, very accomplished doctor with us, Dr. Pallavi Agar. Dr. Pallavi, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me here today, sir.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure.
Pallavi is a gold medalist, a doctor in cardiac radiology. She worked as a medical doctor for many years, and then she decided to become a nutritionist and lifestyle consultant. She's the founder of Mind and Body Wellness Clinic. She's a marathon runner, she's a speaker, she has her own YouTube channel, and she's the recipient of many awards. Wow, that's quite an accomplishment.
Thank you so much.
So Pallavi, tell me a little bit about your early career.
Well, my early career, I did my schooling from a small town called Bareilly. Then I moved into the Medical College Lucknow, that's KGMC. All my family are doctors and all of them are KGMC products.
Okay.
And it was an unspoken rule in the family that you have to ultimately become a doctor. And we were all gearing towards becoming a doctor. I went to the medical college. Then I was selected for my MD radiology from Sanjay Gandhi PGI, which had only one open seat at that time. Mm-hmm. And I did really well in my career as a radiologist. Also, then I moved into the medical college again as a consultant, where I was heading their cardiac radiology department. I helped establish the cardiac CT. I helped establish the protocols for doing cardiac CT. So that was my early journey along where I am today.
Amazing. So tell me, you know, people give everything to become a doctor. And, you know, you went to the best institutes and you were so successful. What made you shift away from medicine and a field which you were so passionate about to nutrition and wellness?
Well, because after so many years of being a doctor and a cardiac radiologist, I understood it's food which has to be used as medicine.
Okay.
I will still say that because I am a doctor, it is my duty to actually make people understand that we have to ultimately at a particular point start moving away from medicine, and we have to come down to the basics that we are what we eat. It is the food which makes us. Nothing else will help us to make us live a productive, a healthy life. I don't want people to wake up in the morning and think, what are the medicines we are going to take for today? This is the tablet for diabetes. This is the tablet for thyroid. This is before meals. This is after meals. I want them to wake up and think, what is the productive thing we are going to do today? And build a very, very positive stereotype for the coming generation. Because I saw with my children, they had also become so used to popping medicines all the time. Both me and my husband being docs, we were having medicines all over the house. Have a little bit of headache, have a paracetamol, little bit of fever, have something else. So that was one reason. The other very compelling reason, one very fine day, I myself was diagnosed with borderline diabetes, hypertension, metabolic syndrome. And I went from pillar to post thinking, what am I supposed to do? And I was subjected to a life of medicines. And that was when it changed for me. I actually became depressed. I was really thinking that at the age of 40, 42, am I supposed to have antihypertensive and anti-diabetics and lead that kind of a life where I'm waking up with aches, groans, moans and pains, thinking, how am I going to live this day today? That's when my passion as a doctor, you know, thought that why should I look into the whole physiology of how the body works, what's actually happening? And then it just interested me so much that I've moved into this.
And that's what started the Mind and Body Wellness.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So tell me a little bit about what you do.
So as a doctor, I am looking into the low-carb diet, which again has a low-carb, high-fat and a low-carb, high-protein kind. I'm trying to dispel the people's views about it being all of this being a fad diet. It isn't a fad. It isn't a diet. Diet is something, some word I hate with all my heart. Believe me, I was on a diet so many times in my life. It's not about a diet. If you're on a diet, you're going to be off the diet as well.
So on a lighter note, someone told me that diet has the word die in it.
Oh, absolutely.
And death has the word eat in it.
Yes. So that's what I tell all the people. You have to eat right.
Correct.
you have to understand what suits you. Something which may suit me being a marathon runner might not suit you, might not suit the other person. Understand your body's physiology. Definitely lower the amount of carbohydrates you're having, because that is what is predominantly leading to most of the diseases these days. And live a, you know, I what I say is food and fitness. These are two pillars over which the foundation of health is created. Do not mix up the two. You cannot out-train a bad diet, whereas you can, you know, become healthy with food. Yet to gain fitness and muscular endurance, you have to move into exercise.
Correct.
So it's like that.
So let's talk about, you know, you focus a lot on the low-carb keto diet. For our listeners, tell us, what is keto?
Keto is now become like the new word of today. It's the buzzword and the market is all taken up by keto. I think it's just a word which people have made. Keto, it's nothing except lowering your carbohydrates. Now people will come up to me and say that our forefathers used to have a lot of carbohydrates and they were very healthy. I agree. Yet we forget, number one, the quality of the carbohydrates they used to have. They used to be complex carbohydrates. They were not those refined processed junk.
Let me understand, what is complex?
So complex is something which will take a while to be absorbed by the body, which will break down slowly by the body.
So the atta that we eat at home, is that refined?
Well, the atta which we are eating currently has become refined in quite a... And again, the whole quality of the wheat is changing. It's becoming more and more... the gluten which is now involved with the wheat which is being produced today is actually causing a lot of problems. If you go and test for it, a lot of people are becoming gluten sensitive. Some people develop gluten sensitivity at a later age in their lives. Again, stuff like sweet potatoes, bajra, millets, they are all complex carbohydrates. Actually, most of the vegetables, the root vegetables, you may call a potato, a sweet potato, even beetroot, potatoes, they all have complex carbohydrates with added fiber.
And those are good for us.
Those are, again, now it comes, it's a very personalized thing. We have to understand what the carbohydrates do. The carbohydrates give us energy. If we are able to use that energy like our forefathers used to do, that they used to bicycle for miles and do and go and do their farming, where they used to do all the work at home, and our mothers used to be at home and doing all the work themselves. If that carbohydrate is ultimately doing something productive, what I like always say is hashtag earn your carbs. What have you done, or what are you going to do to earn your carbs? Are you really going to do a workout? Are you going to be walking, or are you going to be just sedentary and sitting in your car and moving somewhere? Because the moment that excess energy is in there, in your body, that will translate into either fat or a certain kind of inflammation, or any of these, you know, whole gamut of things, metabolic things will start in your process. It will ultimately spike your blood sugar. The blood sugar spikes, the insulin rises, and there, that's the beginning of all the metabolic syndromes. That's right.
So, you know, you mentioned that this is specific to specific individuals.
Absolutely.
But does it also cut across all ages?
It cuts across
all ages. Or is it different for young people? And
it is, of course. It is very much different. But unfortunately, look at the youngsters of today. I mean, are they really moving? There's a word now called a active couch potato.
What
is that? That means they're gymming for an hour in the morning. Yes, they're completely sedentary. They are not even getting up to take their own glass of water. That also, you know, somebody is getting them. And you know, it's now translated as saying that the active couch potato is causing more of harm. Rather, don't go to the gym. Please keep movement as a part of your body. So again, it translates into ages, into sex, what women need, what men need, what younger girls need, what the elderly population need. I am very concerned by the state of affairs in our elderly population. Because suddenly they have been told that all of this various kinds of cookies, this, that and the other, that's all very good for you. So they are having it, yet they are not able to move around. Then they are told that protein is not good for you. So they are not having too much of protein. Whereas hence their, you know, cells are going into the catabolic phase and they are facing all sorts of issues. And the hospitals are full with those geriatric patients.
Amazing. So, you know, you just spoke about... managing, say, diabetes with proper eating.
Absolutely.
Tell me, what should one do?
Well, diabetes is all that the insulin, which is being produced by your pancreas. Insulin is a hormone, which is actually the boss hormone of our body. It's not being utilized properly to push the glucose inside the cells. And why? Because all the time there is a higher level of glucose in your body. The cells become insulin resistant, means the, you may understand if there's a small, you know, area of the cell, a small door of the cell from where the insulin pushes in the glucose, the cell is becoming so insulin resistant, it's closing its doors and windows. Hence, the blood sugar is now always at a higher level. All we have to do is to lower the amount of carbohydrates we are taking. Give the energy through protein, of course, which is mandatory, from 0.8 to 1.2 grams per kilogram, good quality protein. It's mandatory. Take the energy from your fats. Again, from fats, I mean good quality saturated fats. I have uttered the word saturated. And now it'll be, oh my goodness, saturated.
Saturated is ghee, for example.
Well, yes. For ages, Indians used to take ghee. They used to actually do intermittent fasting. When we come to it, I will tell you how. And they used to be very, very active. They used to do yoga and they were healthy all the time. Saturated fats is no longer the devil anymore. The American Heart Association has completely done away with this whole thing of the saturated fat. It's the seed oils which are causing the most of the issues. So just take your, I do not mean to just start eating fats, but cook your food in saturated fats. For those having non-veg, the fat will come from the non-veg itself. From those who are vegetarians, just cook your legumes, your lentils, your paneer. Paneer is a very good source of protein in good quality ghee. And that much of energy, if you are leading a sedentary or a okay lifestyle, which is walking around for 45 minutes morning, evening, you're good to go. And believe me, the blood sugar levels plummet down like anything. You have to actually start taking away the medicines and they live a very productive, a very healthy life. Diabetes and elevated blood sugar, that can cause havoc.
I agree with you.
Havoc from the brain to the fungus and the toenails.
Everything is a problem.
Everything is because of that.
Amazing. So you just, you know, given me a segue to my next question, which is intermittent fasting. Everyone seems to be talking about intermittent fasting. You know, and I remember my mother used to fast 2 days a week. and she won't eat anything. But that time we didn't understand that.
Absolutely.
What are your views on intermittent
fasting? See, I keep telling people this is nothing new, which now this person even won the Nobel Prize for autophagy. Indians have been, this was a part of our Indian culture. Even we used to fast, our mothers, our forefathers, they used to fast. Even if they didn't used to fast as a religious culture, they used to wake up in the morning. There was a custom of, you know, giving bhog to the god in the house, cleaning the temple, cleaning the house, setting up the stove, the chulha for, you know, and putting up the coal and everything. That used to take them quite a while. So if you actually think, they never used to maybe start eating anything by 10, 11 or so. And so, and before, when there was no electricity, they used to, maybe the last meal used to be finished by 6, 7.
Yeah.
Maybe 7, 7.30 max. The people used to come from the farms. They used to be hungry. They used to have their food and end of story. They were fasting for 14, 16 hours without even knowing they are fasting. And they used to be, you know, doing that off for religious customs. It is one of the best things possible for the human body. Don't keep feeding the human body. Whosoever says, please keep snacking, keep eating after every two hours. Believe me, every time you eat, the insulin will spike. Then it will crash. Then you will feel hungry again. Then it will spike. Then it will crash. It will spike. It will crash. It just keeps going on and on. So you have to train your body. And it's only humans who are greedy for food.
Animals eat when they're hungry, nothing else.
And when they are ill, they will just starve themselves to health. You can see in your pets. You may force the pet, you may force whatever, your spoiled pet, to eat food when the pet is hungry. No, it will starve itself through health.
Very true. So you know, Pallavi, you're also a marathon runner.
Yes, I am.
And you also talk about sports nutrition.
Yes, I do.
So tell me, what are some of the challenges of sports nutrition that our listeners should be talking
about? Again, India has been suddenly hit by this fad of sports. Everybody I meet is running, cycling, ultras, this, that, and the other. I'm sorry to say a lot many times because of the social media too.
Correct.
And well, again, now the issue is happening. If you have, must have seen the data in for Tata Mumbai Marathon, a lot of mortalities and morbidities were there. There have been incidents of people, you know, suddenly having the police commissioner, I think he collapsed due to a sudden heart attack while training for the Tata Mumbai. Okay. There have been all sorts of incidents, again, for two very basic reasons. One, we are trying to push our bodies into a zone where we are yet not trained for, because till the ages, it's become like overcoming a midlife crisis. I did the same. But you have to understand, for years you were metabolically inactive. Mm-hmm. Your heart is not trained. Your muscles are not trained. The moment you start trying to push your body into a zone where the body isn't trained for, the body is going to, you know, start suffering, start breaking down. The most important thing is running at an aerobic zone. That is, that aerobic zone is a zone. There are multiple formulas through which aerobic zones are calculated. But according to me, it's the zone where you are so comfortable. You are not stressed. You are not panting. You can talk comfortably. You're just happy. You're just happy. You are listening to the birds. You're looking at the trees. You're looking at the dogs, the cows, whatever coming away. And you're not panting. You're not breathless. You're happy with the, with yourself. You're not sort of thinking, oh my God, when is this run ever going to end? It's, oh my God, when am I going to finish my run? That is where you are running at aerobic zone. You are training your heart. And slowly and steadily, your pace increases. I've been practicing aerobic zone running for quite a while. I have a pretty good pace where my heart doesn't go beyond the aerobic zone into the danger zone. That's the first point. The second point is that we are overfeeding ourselves too much. Mm-hmm. We are overcompensating our runs and our cycle rides. You don't need to eat so much of food. You are doing a run for fitness. You are doing your runs to, you know, expel those calories. Oh, well, you are overcompensating. You are bicycling till some various spot, and then you are thinking you've given yourself the right to have all sorts of junk, right? To binge. Mm-hmm. Right. That doesn't work. Right. You have to use food as fuel. Mm-hmm. You have to understand, if you're doing your speed intervals on a particular day, well, speed intervals, yes, do need instant glucose. You have to take those energy drinks. If you are running comfortably in an aerobic zone, you just don't need anything extra. Correct. Run fasted. I believe in running fasted. I just run with a black coffee. Mm-hmm. I'm good to go. I come home having that runner's high.
Yeah, but just looking at you, I can see how fit you are.
I am usually in a runner's high. So I just did my run in the morning.
Okay.
At the end, you should be feeling high, which I tell you, it should give you happiness.
I agree.
That's the whole thing.
So, you know, probably my next question is, again, you, when I was reading about you, you also speak about nutrition in cancer.
Absolutely.
Tell me a little bit about this.
Well, cancer, again, why is it on the rise these days? Again, it's all about the processed food we are eating, the chemicals we are using, the of course, the air we are breathing, and the inactivity which we are doing. Processed food in a huge, big way. I always keep saying, the moment you open a packet to eat something, you are spoiling your internal environment, and you're throwing the trash, and you're spoiling the external environment as well. Eat clean, again, focus on protein. The moment the cancer cells feed off the blood sugar. And now this person who's got the award for autophagy has shown that you could actually, you know, starve the cancer cells as well.
Okay.
Of course, that is in a hospital, in a controlled, in a clinical environment. But these are the reasons for the cancer being on an ever rise.
Correct.
Since childhood, our children, the moment we give our one-year-old child the birthday party and shove that
cake,
maida and refined flour and sugar cake down the child's throat, we are exposing the child to a lifetime of illnesses. So, you know, just we have to see. And I see parents using food as reward and punishment both.
Yeah.
We are ultimately pushing the child into cancer, into metabolic syndrome, into fatty liver. I have been seeing fatty liver in 21 years old now. And people think, even physicians, like they'll tell me, it's nothing really great about your saying it's a fatty liver. But believe me, I have seen people actually, I mean, the moment you have, the fatty liver goes into liver stiffness, into liver resistance, again, the liver cancer, the various other cancers start developing and your immunity goes on and you go into liver failure. You're going to kidney failure as well.
Yeah. Very well said. So one more question before I move to some personal questions for you. This is, you know, this is the age of millennials. Mm-hmm. The older people, you're absolutely right, have been not very fair to their own bodies. Mm-hmm. But I find millennials seem to be far more conscious of what they're eating.
Yes, they how do.
What are your thoughts on that?
I think there are two, straight up millennials. One of them who are really conscious mm-hmm. about what they are eating and exercise. Like a child I came across yesterday who is at the age of 21, very conscious about the food he's eating and about the gym he's doing, yet he actually doesn't know what to eat. So he's focusing on whatever the gym trainer is telling him and inadvertently leading to, in spite of wanting consciously to follow a healthy lifestyle, leading into fatty liver because he didn't question the trainer as to why are you giving me these pre-workouts? I mean, I'm going to find energy from my own body. What will these pre-workouts, correct. Post-workouts, intra-workouts correct. Do to me?
Correct.
And it's there are the other strata who are just not bothered. They believe in live for today, party today. Oh, we'll live forever. We'll see when we reach the ages of 40. And that's the most tragic situation because unfortunately, I'm seeing a complete breakdown of not only mind, not only body, but also mind wellness. And you will be surprised to hear how much depression is being linked to all this high blood sugar, these high energy drinks, these all of these packed fruit drinks, all of this, which we are having in the morning thinking we are having a so-called healthy breakfast.
Yeah.
There was a huge meta-analysis about college students where it was in the US and it was, they were trying to see why are the US students, you know, moving into suicides, depression, anxiety. They realize it's the students who are waking up without doing any intermittent fasting and guzzling down those fruit juices, those packaged,
aerated,
you know,
drinks,
and it's available everywhere.
Right.
All the conveniences store, you can't eat anything else and they are cheap.
Correct.
That's the biggest problem. They are so cheap.
Yeah, I agree. So Pallavi, moving on to a few questions for you personally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've been a very successful doctor from a family of doctors. You've been you're very, very fit. You're doing some amazing work. Tell me, have you had any individuals who had a strong influence on you?
Absolutely.
And if yes, what have you learned from them?
A lot of individuals, I think, of course,
some
first
key
and
ones.
Foremost, my mother.
Yeah.
I think learned, she is an extremely strong woman, extremely. I get a little tear-eyed maybe, but I mean, in spite of the fact that I'm always in loggerheads with her, but she's taught me endurance and she's taught me gratitude. Gratitude, I think, is a very big thing that we have to all believe in.
Correct.
I have tried to instill it in every person, be grateful. Every waking minute of your life, be grateful. And she's 80 plus and she doesn't complain. She's worked hard and everything and she's so full of gratitude. Even when she fell down and had a massive fall, broke her rib and all that, she was saying, thank God I didn't break my hip and it just, you know, just happened with my rib.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful to God. And for that moment, we were all like, oh my God, what are you talking about? But yes. It could have been worse. She could have broken her hip the way she fell. Gratitude I've learned from her. Again, strong women in my life have made a huge impact. So my sister, she's a gastroenterologist, pediatrician based in Boston. Another extremely strong woman. Again, she's taught me endurance. She's taught me how to, you know, just be positive all the time. And she's taught me also about how to be fit. And my daughters.
A lot of strong women in your life.
I have two daughters and both in their way have taught me a lot about life.
Wonderful.
Patience.
Wonderful. So my next question to you, what would be three words that define Pallavi?
Strong, extremely grateful, maybe, you know, trying to be inspirational to other women so that women my age should think that they are worth it.
Okay. Wonderful. I think. So my next question to you is on failure. Mm. You know, and I've asked this question to so many of my guests.
Absolutely.
Indians and Asians don't teach children that it's okay to fail.
Yes.
We keep telling them, first aana hai, sabse aage raho.
Yes.
I've even heard mothers say,
oh, yes,
when the child is doing well, why are you associating yourself with someone who's not of your level?
Absolutely.
And yet we fail. So my question to you, Pallavi, is that what have been some of your learnings from some of your mistakes or your failures?
Oh, yes. I did have quite a strong failure at a very later age in life, and I was not used to failing, coming from a very academically based family, always doing well in my life. Though my parents were never like the way that you have to succeed and you have to be always on the top, but it was a sort of a unspoken rule in our family. Everybody was, you know, so well placed and doing such good things. And when I failed, I really took it badly. It was one of the darkest phases of my life. And then when I came out of it, I realized, oh yes, so you have to accept failure with all your heart and never ever stop being grateful. I pulled myself out and I am a much better person. And now when I look back, I am so grateful. It was the universe's way of telling me that's not what you're meant to do. You're meant to do something else. Why are you focusing on something you're not meant to do? So the first lesson I learned from my failure was to listen to my intuitions. I failed at getting into the job, which actually I really didn't want to do. I think that's why I failed. Because in my deepest intuition was telling me, I don't want to do this, but everybody was telling me that, yeah, you should be doing it. So the first thing I learned is intuition, and which I keep telling my children all the time, listen to your intuition. And the second thing which I tell them, which I learned, that everybody has plans. There are plans laid down for you. I so much firmly believe in God or a superpower. I don't religiously pray. I don't observe any religious customs. But I so much believe in superpower. And I always tell my children that, you know, it's your God's way of telling them you have so much better things in life planned out for you. And also you have to go through failures to become a better person. It makes you into just a so much better person. It makes you so much humble.
Correct.
I was, when I was doing my cardiac radiology and all that, I maybe was a bit arrogant because I used to think maybe, oh, I know so much about everything. And I learned to be humble. I learned to completely let go of my arrogance. I learned to be proud of myself, but I learned not to be arrogant.
Very well said. So, Pallavi, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
It's an absolute pleasure to have
you
on the show.
Thank you so much. It's been really my pleasure.
And, you know, thank you for such amazing advice that you've given to the thousands of people who will watch us and listen to us.
I'm so grateful again.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for The Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.